Okay, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. As time goes by, books which pertain to spiritual matters become very interesting to me on a regular basis. And I try to extract from these books every bit of information that I possibly can that is pertinent to what is in God's Word. But I become more and more aware all the time of the words of wisdom spoken by the wise man in Ecclesiastes 12 and 12. He says, "And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh." How well I know. But you know, Ripley, of Believe It or Not fame, made the statement that, and I quote, "It would take a skillful reader over 300 years to read the titles alone for all the books that are published." Now, since this statement was made some years ago, I would guess that figure would be well over 500 years. But none can honestly doubt that many of the books in the world today need to be destroyed. There needs to be a book burning, just like they had in Ephesus when the gospel was preached to them, as recorded for us in Acts 19, 18 through 20. Such things as a sexually explicit magazines, filthy comic books, all books that present themselves as divine when they are nothing more than the works of mere men, all need to be destroyed. However, in this jumble of all of these books, there is one book that is in the library of heaven, and it is the book of life. And this book, above all books, is important. And someone says, "Well, just what exactly is the book of life?" Well, it is not the Bible or even the New Testament alone. As we can see, the New Testament is referred to as Paul in such places as Romans 8 and 2 as the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and the angel who freed Peter in Acts 5 and 20 said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." As we noted in John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The words that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." We have to keep in thought what words of the New Testament hold for us. The New Testament, though, is not one of the books which were opened. No, it's not. And We notice again in Revelation 20 and verse 12, John says, I saw the dead. Now listen to this. The dead, great and small, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Well, what purpose did it serve? Well, the book of life was opened, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The book of life, then, is a register of names. And you know, such books have long been used. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1, Moses was inspired to write this. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. And this is where the names of the descendants of Adam are listed. Nehemiah refers in Nehemiah 7 and verse 5 to the register of the genealogy of those who had come up in the first return, that is from the captivity in Babylon, and found written in it. Ezekiel says that false prophets in his time are of false prophets in his time, and I quote, they shall not be in the assembly of my people. Notice, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Notice what Jesus said to the 70 in Luke 10 and 20, who went out on the limited commission and came back all excited because they were able to do all kinds of miracles and everything. And Jesus said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's talking about the book of life. That is talking about the book of life. Now, let's go into the subject of whose names are in the book of life. Well, that's a good question. Well, there's one thing I know for sure, that it doesn't have the worshipers of the beast in the book of life. It's not there. In Revelation 13, verse 8, John writes, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of the life, book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's referring to whom? Jesus. Referring to Jesus. Also in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8, the beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they see that the beast that was and is not and is yet to come. Now keep in mind, at the writing of this, Rome was under dominion, Domitian, I get it right, and he was the primary target of this reference. Primary target. In the time of the seven churches of Asia to whom the book was addressed, the Roman government represented pagan worship to all ages. No matter when it was going to happen, if it happened then or happened later, pagan worship in all ages of such people. David wrote in Psalm 69, and verse 27. Add iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. Did you notice what David said there? David said those who add sin to sin are unrighteous and will not find their names in the book of life. That's pretty final. When you come right down to it, that's pretty final. But what names are found in there? Well, I think we can safely say the names of the children of God are in the book of life. As we noted in Luke 10 and verse 20, their names were written in heaven. In writing to the church at Philippi, Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 3, I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Paul recognized that that book of life existed and that people's names are in it. Who? The children of God. You know, Malachi wrote of this book and gives us some insight into it about the names that are to be written there. Look at Malachi 3. That's the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. How did I hear that subject, meditate? I heard that somewhere. Did you hear that? A remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and those who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Notice that it is those who fear the Lord that are written in the book, and those who meditate on his name. God will hear them, and God will put their names in a book of remembrance. These are the same ones that we read about in Hebrews chapter 12. That's Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are, read it, registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all, to spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Did you get that? Did you get that? Registered in heaven. That's exactly right. Those who are in Christ's church are the ones who are enrolled in heaven. Now, how do we get our names in the book of life? Well, we think about this and say, well, first of all, you've got to be one of his children. Well, that is correct. We need to become one of his children. Well, where do we go to find out how we can do that? Well, Galatians 3 is one of the verses you can turn to. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Some versions read, clothe yourselves with Christ. Now, what are you talking about here? What he starts by saying, you're sons of God through faith in Christ. And that's what a lot of people, well, that's all that's involved in it. Just sons of God through faith in Jesus. But is that what it says? No, that's not the whole thing. It says for. And when the word for appears somewhere, it refers back to what was just said. And draws a conclusion. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you're sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you have clothed yourselves with Christ. You have put on Christ. That's how you do it. There's nothing complicated about it. It's simple. But the implications are very important because it also means being added to his family or added to the church. In 1 Timothy 3:15, 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul is writing to the young gospel preacher Timothy, and he said, if I'm delayed, I write to you that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, what is the church then? Is it some unnecessary thing that man came up with and that is just optional? No, it says the church is of the living God and the house of God, which means it's non-essential. No, can't be that. Can't be that. Paul believed, and Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul believed that the church was the house of God. Now, does he mean this building here? No, no, that's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the saints that go to make up the local church. Or actually, he's speaking here of the church in the general sense or the church universal. And he says, you're the church of the living God and pillar and ground of the truth. Well, does this correspond with what happened on the day of Pentecost? Well, yeah. And in Pentecost, in Acts 2 and verse 47, after we hear Peter preaching the gospel here, he told the people there to repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, or unto the remission of your sins. And then we find down in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, who did the adding? The Lord. And who did He add them to, he added them together in what is called the church, which is the household of God. Simple as that. So we understand how to get our names in the Lamb's Book of Life is simply by believing on Christ with all of our hearts, being buried with Christ in baptism, and then being added by the Lord to his household. But this does not mean that after becoming his children, that we can just coast along once our names are written in heaven. Because it is a biblical truth that our names may be blotted out. Well, someone says, how could that happen? Well, you know, the denominational world teaches the doctrine of the impossibility of apostasy. And once you've been saved, they say, you can't lose it, no matter what you do. Well, why would there ever be any reference to blotting somebody out of the Book of Life, if that's the case? Think about it. But let's look and see what the Bible says about it. Our names may be blotted out if we are guilty of altering God's inspired word in any way. Now, I want you to turn with me to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Now, this specifically is referring to the book of Revelation. Okay? For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part, listen, from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. Now, it surely is applicable to the book of Revelation, yes. But the principle of this is also found in Deuteronomy verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 2. In the book of Deuteronomy, God says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And just in case we didn't understand that, in Deuteronomy 12, 32, whenever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. Now, what does this tell us about what God feels about his word? Well, God doesn't tolerate those who would tamper with his word. It's his word and not for us to tamper with. But also, we might be guilty of continued willful sin and have our name taken out of the book of life. Notice in Exodus 32, and verse 32, yet now if you will forgive their sin, but if not, now listen, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Did you get that? Any sin which is unforgiven and thus persisted in will cause our names to be blotted out of the book of life. Simple as that. But while we're thinking about it, we wonder how exactly does this affect our destiny? Well, if our name is not written in the book of life, we will be destined for the second death. In Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15. Revelation 20, 14 and 15. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If our name is written in the book of life, what are the implications? Well, Christ will confess us to his heavenly Father. Look at Revelation 3 and 5. That's Revelation 3 and verse 5. To the church at Sardis. Now Jesus says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There again, if it is possible, if not possible, to have your name blotted out, why would Christ himself make such a statement? There's just no other explanation than he will blot out the disobedient. But what are the implications of having your name in the book? We can enter the eternal city through the mighty gates. Look at Revelation 21 and verse 27. But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. Now listen, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's the only ones that are going to enter into the heavenly city. Sounds pretty important. Sounds pretty important. Now, for the question of the hour. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Is your name written? Now, you can be assured that it is not written if you have not obeyed what Jesus said you must do to be a part of his family. Through the inspired apostle Paul in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, you have it baptized into Christ. You're added to the family of God. If you haven't done this, you are not in the family of God, and therefore do not have your name in the book of life. But if you have been added to the book of life by obedience to the gospel, we have another question for you. And that question, is your name still written there? Or have you become lax? Have you engaged in sin and have not repented of it? You know what the ultimate cause is, or what the ultimate result is. Your name will be blotted out. Now, the good part about this is you can have your name written back in the book of life if you'll repent and ask God to forgive you. Now, what are we draws a conclusion. Whether or not your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will determine your eternal destiny. Simple as that. And only you can do anything about it. Only you. We can pray and plead and preach and teach, do everything you can imagine. But we can't do it for you. Only you can do something about that. And the question to entertain is, why not do it now? Why not do it now? If you have not complied with the things that we have talked about, met God's requirements for the Lamb's Book of Life for yourself, why not think about it seriously? Meditate on it. And if we can assist you in any way consistent with God's Word, we'll gladly do that. Gladly. But if you've done this in the past but have allowed yourself to just drift away, please come back. Don't face eternity with your name blotted out. Because when it comes to that time, it's too late. It's too late. If we can help you in any way, please let us do that.